Well, no need five. Five.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Sounds like your grandchild is there.
Yeah, my grandson.
Baruch Hashem. You're the first. Not the last.
Has joined.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Please join me in saying the Anna Bekoach. Anna Bekoach, Gedulat Shemincha, Tati, Serura, Aleph Bet Gimel, Yotav Savi. Kabel Rinat. Amcha sag beinu acharenu nora ufreshayin sintet nun na gibor dor sheyechudcha givavat shamrem nun gimel dalet yutkaf shin. Barchem tacharem, rachame sitkatcha, tamid gamlem, betet resh tzaditav gimel. Chasin kadosh, berov tucha, nael adatach, et kuf bet tet nunayim. Yachid Geye Lamcha Pene Zopre Kiddushata Yud Gimelamet Pe Zayin Kuf Shavatenu Kabel Ushmatia Katenu Yodea Talumo Shin Kufav Tadiyuta. We brought the energy of creation into our
has
space.
Joined.
We will now separate between the right column energy and the left column energy, utilizing the 13 attributes of mercy. Adonai Yohewahe, Adonai Yohewahe, El Rachum V'chanun, Erech Apayim, V'rav Chesed V'emet, Notse chesed la lafim, Notse awon wafesha, Zahata vinake. We will now connect to the certainty, utilizing a verse from the Sulam commentary, from the Parasha Yitro, known as Pasuk 29. We will first say a L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud kud shabarichu ishkinte bidhilu urchimu udhilu udhilu urchimu le'achta l'shem yudhe bavavhe v'yichuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael limud Torah mitzvah la'sok Torah mitzvah Vayhino amadunai Eloheinu aleinu ma'asei yadenu kanunei aleinu ma'asei yadenu kanuneihu. Rabbi Abba Amar Bekamatar Tane Nand Kudsha Parichu Koma De Aved Leela Witata Kolaihu Kishot Beovada Dikshot Beleid Lach Mila Bialma Divaye Barnash Ledach Yaleya Mineya Ulanaga Beyakalana Dehakulu Ovada Dikshot Inun Wikolai Stirich Be all mine. The energy of the year 5774 is peace in the Middle East. We connect to this energy by studying a verse from the Tanakh. From 2 Samuel, it's the verses chapter 7, verse 10. This verse has the same energy as peace in the Middle East. Wasamti makom le'ami le'Yisrael untati v'shakan takta willo yirgaz od willo yosifu v'nei avla la'anoto ka'asher barishona. The year 5781 has the energy of redemption. 5781 is our current year. And we study a verse from Isaiah, chapter 66, verse 21. Wagam mehem ekach lakohanim lalevim amar Adonai yohe wahe adanu yo yoahe dawanu heyo. We will now connect to the 72 names of God by utilizing the tool of saying each letter out loud with its root vowel. Wahe wa yo la yo sa yo te ala me me he shi la la he a ka he ta e za yo ala da. La awa he he ya, yoza la me be he he re yo he ko me, la awa kala yo la wa wa pe he la, nu la ha yo 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 me la he 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 wa, nu ta he he a a yo re ta shi a he, re yo yo awa me la ka be wa shi re. Yo he wa la he he ka wa ko me nu da anu yo he a me re he a yo yo za he 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 me yo ha wa wa la yo la he sa a la re yo la shi la me yo he wa he wa da nu yo he he shi a me me nu nu a nu yo ta me be he pe wa yo nu me me yo yo la he re he me ta re wa me be yo he he a nu wa me he yo ta me be me nu ko a yo a he be wa re a he yo be me he yo yo me wa me. We'll now connect to the 72 names that were revealed by the Tzaddikim utilizing the same tool. Wa 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 yo 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 sa be te a a me me be shi la yo he anu a ka me ta he he yo anu da la he wa he me a yo tsa la me re he he yo yo he me me. La wa wa ka be yo la yo wa pe nu la nu me ha yo he yo me nu he 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 wa nu yo he he shi a yo re ta shi a he re la yo a wa me la yo be wa he re yo yo wa la he he ka a ko me nu da a nu yo he wa me re he a yo he za. He shi he me ka ha wa wa la yo yo he sa a la re yo a la me ta he wa he wa da la yo he yo shi a la me Nu hey ah nu wata me la he pe ayo nu ko me yo re la he be he me za re wa he be yo a he ala wa me za yo da he be me ka ko ala a he he wa re la he yo yo me he la yo me me he me. The Tzaddikim who left this day, the 16th day of Av, Rabbi Moshe Pirdo and Rabbi Bechor Aaron Alach Hadif, and the Tzaddikim who left on the 17th day, starting this evening after sundown, Rabbi Shlomo Chaim Perlo of Koldinov, please join me in saying the Ma meditation. Yud, Yud, Hey, Yud, Hey, Wav, Yud, Hey, Wav, Hey, Yud, Yud, Hey, Yud, Hey, Wav, Yud, Hey, Wav, Hey, Yud, Yud, Hey, Yud, Hey, Wav, Yud, Hey, Wav, Hey, Yud, Yud, Hey, Yud, Hey, Wav, Yud, Hey, Wav, Hey, Yud, Yud, Hey, Yud, Hey, Wav, Yud, Hey, Wav, Hey. Please join me in saying the Ani meditation, which we use as a tool to climb the tree of life to the level of our class. Malchut. Yo aheni wayohei, yo aheni wayohei, yo aheni wayohei. Yusod. Yu ahuni wu yohu, yu ahuni wu yohu. You ahuni wu yohu, od. You ahuni wu yohu, you ahuni wu yohu, you ahuni wu yohu. Netzach. Ye ahini wu yohi, ye ahini wu yohi, ye ahini wu yohi. Tiferet. Yo ahuni wu yohu. Yo ahuni wo yoho, yo ahuni wo yoho, gevura, yaash niwi yosh, yaash niwi yosh, yaash niwi yosh, chesed, yaaheni wo yohe, yaaheni wo yohe, yaaheni wo yohe. Bina, ye aheni weyohei, ye aheni weyohei, ye aheni weyohei. Hachma, ya ahani wayoha, ya ahani wayoha, ya ahani wayoha. Keter, ya ahani wayoha, ya ahani wayoha. Ya ahani wa yoha. You'll find the handout on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix. Actually, you'll find it on the Unique Astrological Times link. In the section of Rosh Hashanah, which is below Rosh Chodesh Elul, it's near the top of the page. And the link is titled Preparation for Elul and Tishrei Holidays. You'll also find a just a summary of what is the relationship between Elul and Tishrei and about the holidays in Tishrei. Rosh Hashanah means head of the year. Kabbalah teaches that everything that will happen during the year is included in that day. It is also the day of judgment for every human being. This means that everyone runs out of life force energy, called nefesh, during the first night of Rosh Hashanah. This means every human being dies that night and is resurrected with 10 days of energy, sufficient to make it to Yom Kippur. The Jewish rituals of hearing or blowing the shofar are designed to confuse the negative forces whose job it is to prosecute each human so that they receive the energy that they have earned based on what they did with the energy that they received last year. Did you use your energy to help people? Or did you use your energy for selfish purposes? The negative force called Satan is attempting to limit the energy you receive. When he hears the shofar, he gets confused and does not bring the correct information at the correct time for Hashem to make his judgment. And this is why it is imperative to hear the shofar blown on Rosh Hashanah, which is called in the Talmud, one long day. As part of this process of receiving energy, we are reborn as an immature entity, and we grow to maturity over the 23-day period. That is why there are 23 days of holidays during the month of Tishrei, to assist us in our period of growth from immaturity to maturity. These periods are the first 10 days representing the receiving energy of the left column of the Tree of Life. The next 12 days of sharing energy from the right column of the Tree of Life. And the central column energy of Simchat Torah. That's what's expected. What's the relationship between the month of Elul and the month of Tishrei? And these 23 days of holidays is simply Teshuvah. This is class 1A. Which is really essentially the basic class of Teshuvah. This is the Zaman Teshuvah, the period of Teshuvah. Zaman translates as a period of time, but it also means the opportunity to do teshuvah. Teshuvah being translated as repentance is not actually correct. It leads you astray because it implies something of a physicality. I say I'm sorry and therefore I'm forgiven. This is not actually correct. It is meant to translate, instead of repentance, teshuvah should be translated as returning the hay, or returning to Hashem. We will discuss this more below and also in our other classes over these next 7 weeks. We need to know one thing that the Kabbalah teaches in order to start on the path of teshuvah. The one thing is that the Midrash teaches that there were 7 things created prior to creation. One of these is teshuvah. This means that man was expected to make mistakes or sins in the religious language. The question is, why did Hashem expect man to make mistakes? One answer is that there is only one way to learn. We learn from our mistakes. You will not learn from a teacher telling you not to do something or telling you the way things work in the physical world. This is the way we are taught. But it is not the way to learn. And I cannot express that strongly enough. So what is the way to learn? Is by trying, experimenting, being wrong, and learning from your mistakes. Don't we learn from books and teachers and other ways? Don't we learn what is the right thing to do from these other ways of learning? The answer comes from the Perkei Avot, who lists the 48 ways to acquire Torah. Not to learn Torah, but to assimilate Torah into your soul. Learning from books and teachers is a lower level than making a mistake. And acquiring the memory to not do that mistake again. Another reason that teshuvah was created prior to the creation of the world has to do with the cause and effect involved with reincarnation. The Baal Shem Tov teaches that the reason someone develops a hatred for another is because they have the soul spark of that person captured within their own negativity. That is the reason a mistake is made with respect to another person. And then teshuvah releases that soul spark. This was the relationship between the Baal Shem Tov and the Gaon de Vilna. That caused the Gaon to excommunicate the Baal Shem Tov for a short period of time. And this teaching comes from the book, You Are Who You Hate, by Sarah Yehudit Schneider. We have classes on that book, on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix. The time of teshuvah, Zaman teshuvah. This is the opportunity to return to Hashem. We can return to Hashem anytime, but what makes the month of Elul so unique? I'm referring to the 10 weeks that starts from Shabbat Nachamu until Shabbat Bereshit. Actually, most of these 10 weeks are included in the months of Elul and Tishrei. Why are these 2 months the opportunity to return to Hashem? Another period of time is the period of Shogavim. And this is the 6 weeks. And in leap years, like next year, 5782, it will be 8 weeks, where the parashat of Shemot, Vayera, Bo, Bishalach, Yitro, Mishpatim, and then the two following parashah, Tetzaveh, and I don't remember the name of the eighth parashah. Oh, Truma, Tetzaveh and Truma. This 8 week period is a period of Shovavim, a period to do tshuva in a specific area. But it can be done in any area. Tshuva can be done any day of the year. But it is easier to do it in those two specific time periods. There are other periods that correct other sefirot that we have damaged through our mistakes. In effect, any day is a good day for tshuva. Let us continue discussing the well-known period of the month of Elul. One physical reason is that Elul is the sixth month of the Hebrew calendar, and Tishrei is the seventh month. The seventh month is Malchut in the frame of the Sefirot, while Elul is Yesod. Yesod and Malchut are meant to be in continuous zivug, continuous intercourse with each other. They are not in continuous zivug due to man's mistakes. Yet man's mistakes are an illusion, so they are always in continuous zivug. That is why I will be teaching these 2 months as one period, one Ziman. The meaning of tshuva, or actually, tashuv, hey. Tashuv means to return. Hey is the letter hey representing the Malchut, or the physical level, of the name of Hashem as a metaphor. When we do a sin, we separate that physical hay, the lower hay, from the Vav. Tshuva returns that lower hay to the Vav and reconnects it to the spiritual levels. We're now about to read a discussion by Rabbi Yaakov Feldman on the meaning of tshuva. And this will help set the intellectual and practical tone for the beginning of the spiritual work. In a later class, we will bring you practical examples of how to do this work. When you are ready and you feel comfortable, click on the link and read what Rabbi Feldman has to say. We've done this a few years in a row, but let us continue. Now we will see a more Torah literal understanding of tshuva. This Rabbi Ginsburg gave us a quick essay on the meaning of tshuva. And this will help set up the tone for the beginning of your spiritual work. There is a Shabbat that is always between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. This Shabbat is named Shabbat Shuvah, the Shabbat of return or returning. I'm going to read a link about Shabbat Shuvah. It looks like Rabbi Ginsburg has taken down that class or that. Aspect. So I'm going to read the discussion of thoughts that come in discussing the Ma meditation. The Kotzker Rebbe has added, or has explained, really, that the mitzvah to be holy, Tihiyu Kidoshim, can be best understood by first be a mensch, a good person, then be holy. What is the meaning of the word mensch, which is a Yiddish word, to be a good person? What does it mean to be a good person? We all consider ourselves good people, but are we really? Be a mensch. According to tradition, one can begin to greet others with Lashana Tova. Beginning today, have a good year, Lashana Tova. I hope we all have a good year in the year 5782. And in a few weeks, I will give you my analysis of that year's energy. But I can hint to you that this next year is going to be a year of separating between holy and mundane. It will become apparent during this coming year that there are two groups of people. We will not want to see that. We will not want to perceive that. We will not want to accept that. But we will be forced to recognize it, at least those who are on a spiritual path. So as of today, we can greet each other, Lashana Tova. Now comes the question, why do we begin this greeting from Tu B'Av, which is 45 days before Rosh Hashanah, and it's not even in the month of Elul yet? The month of Elul being a connection to Shuvah would seem to be a more likely time to say or to begin saying Lashana Tova. According to the Kabbalah, the fact that Tu B'Av is 45 days before Rosh Hashanah is very significant and is connected to the Talmudic debate over which month the world was created in. Was it created in Tishrei, the month in which Rosh Hashanah, the new year of years, falls? Or was it created in Nisan, the month in which Pesach falls? and which is the new year of the months. Both sides make numerous arguments, but the Talmud reaches no definitive conclusion. Rabbeinu Tam, a later commentator who is the grandson of Rashi, the foremost commentator, explained the underlying unity of both opinions. The world was created in potential or in thought in Tishrei, and in actuality in Nisan. Actually, this is what the Rabbeinu Tam taught. This is, yet the reality is, from Nisan to Elul, you have 6 months of potential, while from Tishrei to Adar, you have 6 months of actual. The word for thought in Hebrew is makshava. When those letters are permuted, they spell choshav ma, to think of ma, to think of what? The essence of a matter. Ma is 45, and thus can be read this allegorically as God began to think of creating the world 45 days before Rosh Hashanah. You'll find it interesting to note in years where it is not a leap year. What is 45 days before Rosh Chodesh Nisan? It's Tu B'Av. Not Tu B'Av, I'm sorry. It's Tu B'Shvat. Tu B'Shvat is the New Year's of the tree, but it's also the beginning of the thought of creation at the potential level. Tu B'Av, yesterday, it begins the process that we also should begin the process of thinking about the essence of our lives and how we can become better, stronger, deeper, in effect, a mensch or a menschet. And how we can become a self-actualized atom or a self-actualized person to coincide with the birthday of Adam on Rosh Hashanah. It is no coincidence that 45 days is also the gematria of the name Adam, which means a man or a person. We thus have a 45-day program to think about the essence of our lives. In doing so, we recall the famous teaching of Hillel. Wemakom she'ein anashim hashetadal lechayot yish. In a place where there is no men, strive to be a man. In short, be a mensch, a good person. We have 5 days from Rosh Hashanah, the birthday of Adam, to contemplate this directive, to use it as the basis for our teshuvah, of our mistakes against Hashem, our mistakes against others, our mistakes against ourselves. L'shana tova. Have a happy year. We have discussed the meditation of Choshav Ma or Makshava. But here is a meditation for the 16th of Av, which is today. Kedoshim Tihiyu, be holy. The Kotzke Rebbe is added, Kodem a mensch, become a mensch. Unach dem chelig, first be a mensch, then be holy. Become a mensch. Uva makom she'en anashim ha'shita dal lihiyot ish. In the Mishnah, Hillel declares, in a place where there is no men, strive to be a mensch, strive to be a man. The essence of man is to be a mensch. That is not something that can be proven to you. You have to prove it to yourself. Are you a good person? Are you a menschet or are you a mensch? It's not up to me to determine that for you. It's up to you to decide for yourself what it means to be a mensch. But one thing we know to be a mensch, we have to treat ourselves and we have to treat other people in a good way. And when you think about it, all of this is my commentary. When you think about it, if I eat food that is unhealthy for me to eat, am I being a mensch to myself? Or am I being a rasha, an evil person to myself? Yes, I'm feeding my desire for that good, unhealthy food. Do we know that the food is unhealthy? We have doctors and health professionals telling us certain foods are unhealthy. But overall, anything God has created that is in a balanced way, not too much and not too little, is a good thing and is moving us towards becoming menschets and mensch. The whole issue is, how do you maintain balance? How do you say, I have this desire, and I'll just take a taste of that food. I have this desire, and I'm going to limit how much of that food I take, how much of any desire I strive for. Every person has a desire to have the money to provide for its family, their family. But what is balance? I have a house with four bedrooms. I have three children. Is it appropriate to give a child their own room? Is that being a good person? Or is it better that I have one big bedroom where all three children can sleep together? and learn to love each other, to learn to discuss their sibling rivalry. What is best? It isn't about being best. It's about being a good person. It's about being what is good for your children. So what is Hillel declaring? Where there is a place, there is no men, strive to be a man. What does this mean? This is usually taken to mean that when other people are acting in an indifferent or cowardly fashion, one should stand up and be a mature, courageous human being. It also
has
means
joined.
That one should act as a mensch, a decent person, a good person, when there are no others around, in a place where there literally are no
men. I just wanted to thank you for the drinks you bought us. Did I
no men.
Did you understand, right? A lot of people are killing me from death.
Sorry for that interruption. When there are literally no men, no people, there's nobody to judge you, what will you do? Will you be a good person then, when there's no one around to influence you, to say you're doing wrong or you're doing right? What will you do? Will you follow what the Torah says? Will you remember that Hashem is watching? Or even if you don't remember that Hashem is watching, will you be a good person? Will you do what the Torah says, even if you don't know what the Torah says? The ultimate measure of mankind, of a man or a woman, is not where he stands in the moments of comfort and convenience, but where he stands in the moments of challenge and controversy. This is a teaching of Martin Luther King. It's also a teaching of the Torah, but without being that explicit. Rabbi Avraham Twersky writes, in a cheder, in a school for children, the teacher taught the children of the halacha as the recommended path that is relative. The teacher has taught that the halakha, the recommended path, he taught this to children, that a relative may not testify at a trial. One of the children asked, granted that he cannot testify in favor of the relative, but why is his testimony not acceptable if he testifies against his relative? One of the other children, who later became a great Torah scholar, said, I know why. The Torah says, two menshes will testify. Anyone who testifies against a relative is disqualified because he is not a mensch. Contemplate, do you want the judgment of your own actions to be done by the testimony of mention or a regular human being? And this is a meditation for tomorrow. Kiddushin Tihiyu, the Kotzker Rabbi added, Kodim a mensch, unach dem chelig. First be a mensch, then become holy. Be a mensch. Umakom she'ena nashim k'shet adel liyot ish. In a place where there are no men, strive to be a man. Hillel's teaching, in a place where there is no men, strive to be a man, is shown by the story of how Hillel assumed the position of Nasi, a leader. When there was no one qualified to deal with the halakhic questions regarding the Pesach offering, Hillel accepted the role because it was clear to him that he was more qualified than anyone else that was there. This is another way of saying when there are no men, you have to be knowledgeable to be considered a man in any given subject. What does this mean for women? How many may a woman strive to be a man when she is clearly a woman? Perhaps the universal message is that we should be aware of our weaknesses, but always strive to overcome them. While the Korbanot Tzibur, the public offerings, were sacrificed on Shabbat and Yom Tov, and serve as the basis for our davening Musaf on these days, private sacrifices were not taken. Similar to a public offering, the Korbanot Pesach was brought at a fixed time. On the other hand, the obligation to bring such rests on the individual, leading to uncertainty as to whether it may be brought on Shabbat. This law escaped the B'nai B'tira one time. The 14th of Nisan fell on a Shabbat, and they forgot and did not know if the Pesach sacrifice overrides the Shabbat. Is there anyone who knows if the Pesach overrides Shabbat or not? It must have been many years since Erev Pesach had fallen on Shabbat, and no one recalled the correct practice. While many today find a Shabbat Erev Pesach inconvenient, during Temple times the inconvenience was even greater, and the Sanhedrin tried to avoid such an eventuality. Something that was much easier to do with a non-fixed calendar. They said to them, "There is a person who made Aliyah from Bavel, and Hillel, the Bavli, is his name, who served the two giants of the generation, Shemaiah and Avtalion, and he knows if Pesach overrides Shabbat." Hillel, through a careful analysis of the biblical text, demonstrated that yes, indeed, the Korban Pesach may and must be brought on Shabbat. The B'nai B'tira, the leaders of the Sanhedrin, immediately resigned, insisting that Hillel become the Nasi, the president of the Sanhedrin. Upon his appointment, he rebuked them, declaring, "What caused for you that I should come from Bavel and become the Nasi over you? The laziness that you exhibited when you did not serve the two giants of the generation, Shemaiah and Avtalion." The B'nai B'tira displayed great insight and humility in resigning their posts. They recognized that they were not quite up to the task of religious leadership, perhaps even that they were lazy and did not properly serve their mentors. While a religious leader can't know everything, to be paralyzed into action over a question that is easily foreseeable is a sign of weak leadership. To their great credit, they recognize such and immediately, even eagerly, stepped aside so that Hillel could become the Nasi. Such, ironically, are the character traits we should seek in our leaders. Hillel's critique was thus unnecessary and even insensitive. As he was appointed, Hillel was asked, "What if one forgot and did not bring the knife on every Erev Shabbat? What would be the law?" And measure for measure, Hillel responded, "This law I heard, but I forgot." The Talmud simply notes, whoever displays arrogance, if he is wise, his wisdom will depart from him. Hillel learned his lesson well. A person should always be as humble as Hillel. And story after story is told of his great patience, his great humility and simplicity. And why does the law following the ruling of Bet Hillel? Because they were pleasant and humble and taught their views and the views of Beit Shammai. Hillel both taught and inspired his students to live lives of great humility. And thus a heavenly voice declared, the law is in accordance with the house of Hillel. Contemplate for tomorrow. The humbleness begins with choosing to not be right. Is this true or is this false? We are almost out of time, so we will leave at this point. But as you can see, we will be looking for and discussing these meditations about what it means to be a mensch as we move towards Rosh Hashanah in 44 days. There will be no class this afternoon. Our next class will be tomorrow morning, and tomorrow we will have 5 classes. Our morning class at 7 a.m., the Evolution of God Sefer at 11 a.m. At 1 p.m., a teaching on advanced reincarnation. And at 4:30, our Deep Zohar class, and at 7 p.m., a teaching by the Ari. Does anyone have any questions or comments or thoughts? I bid you all Shavuot Tov. Have a beautiful week, a wonderful afternoon, and I look forward to speaking to you tomorrow.
Thank you, Hanok. Have a good week.
You too. Thank you.
Shana Tova. Thank you.
Thank you. Shana Tova to all.